And welcome to Monday. It's Monday, June 23rd, 2025. You're listening to and watching the Hagmann Report. With me is Randy Taylor. Tonight, we're going to be discussing a lot of things. How was your weekend? What'd you do? Oh, we just flew some sorties into Iran and knocked some stuff out. In total, for those keeping score at home. Let's see here. We have Operation Midnight Hammer. And that began at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern time when our military, B-2s, in kind of a head fake. I'm not going to get too deep into this, but some going west, some going east. Iran, they're like, what's this all about? Anyway, long and short of it, there were, by the way, that's an 18-hour flight one way. I just want to tell you that. 37-hour round trip, and that does account for the mission. But we had 14 of those big bad mops dropped into the three nuclear sites. Well, two, I should say. I believe it was the easternmost, and then the one in the middle, and then of course Tomahawks hit the other one. But the mops, yeah, 14 of them, and just to get an idea of what they're like, for 30,000 pounds of explosives in those, wrapped up in 24,000 pounds of steel casing. Wow. 20 feet long. Each one is capable of busting into 200 feet of earth, through 200 feet of steel, earth, or concrete. This is a first combat use. This is the first use of combat, in combat, of those weapons. I have a quick video to show you. I didn't see this. I try to make sure we don't have, you know, we're not getting spoofed by that this is in fact what it is, and to the best of my ability, yeah, this is what it is. This is the inside of a B-2. Yes, the B-2 has a toilet. Of course the B-2 has a toilet and more. Now, is this a spoof? I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know. You tell me. Randy Taylor, you tell me. This, and Eric the Tech, chime in on this. Is this a spoof? Because I chat, you tell me as well. This is video 7 in the show notes. And if it is, shame on me. And if it isn't, wow, okay. Although, you know what, I wouldn't necessarily put it past. I don't know. I don't know. I found it interesting. Hell, it's only 1 minute of your time. All right, so this is cut 7. It's 1 minute. Is this real? Seriously, is this real? Go ahead.
Does the B-2 have a toilet? The B-2 bomber has crazy distance capabilities. It's made to go unnoticed past enemy air defenses thanks to its stealth features. The B-2 has even broken records in the history books with remarkable long-haul journeys. It went on a daring bombing mission all the way to Afghanistan, a marathon 44-hour flight, and then turned around, swapped out its crew, and sped back to the United States in just 34 hours. However, you might wonder how the crew manages these awfully long missions. Well, the answer is they're in a flying hotel. You see, the B-2 is kitted out with the crew's comfort in mind. It's more than just a military aircraft. It's a second home for the dedicated personnel. They have access to essential amenities, including a bed for much-needed rest, microwave for a hot meal on those extended journeys, and even a toilet. A few minutes on the toilet can make all the difference for the crew. A place to drop your own bombs is the best thing a man can ask for. Would you like to go to the toilet here? Does the B-2...
All right. Randy Taylor, come on board. Randy Taylor, RT at HagmanPI.com. If you want to take
it. You're going to drag me in this mess.
Yeah, I want to know. Is this just a...
I've never been in a B-2. I don't know. That's pretty luxurious compared to a C-130 bathroom. which in there is pretty much as a bucket with a curtain.
I'm gonna say there's probably some of that stuff in there, but that toilet was ceramic. I don't think they're gonna have a ceramic toilet in there, probably like a metal one.
Hell, in the studio we have a bucket and cat litter, so I mean, you know, I don't know,
like the ceramic toilet top on the back. Like a home toilet? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. you know, it caught the headlines of a few places. And I thought, okay, they're reporting this as fact, okay, without any disclaimers or anything like that. I'm thinking, so the reason I threw this in here too, because...
It says that there is a toilet on a B-2 bomber.
Yeah, but you know, is it the...
the Taj Mahal? It wouldn't have a lid on the back like that, because I mean, you see the thing when it's flying like that, you know? And I'd hate to be on the toilet when I, you know, decided it was going to make a hard left.
I think the toilet should have seat belts anyway, right? Like ours at home.
Absolutely.
But there was another reason I tossed it up there. Because seriously, now let's move this to a more serious part of this. Folks, are you getting really like tired of just getting lied to all of the time? I mean, it seems like we're not getting the truth about anything. Where are the battle damage assessments from Iran? They're not over here. They're not here.
Nope.
Not over here. Nope. Now, not that I'm entitled to those or we're entitled to those, but we paid for them, right? I mean, through our tax dollars. And now, of course, we have this alleged ceasefire that President Trump announced, right? So
alleged.
Alleged. And, you know, it's like a contract, all right? So the contracts are only as good as the people who sign them their word.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
He said it himself.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I saw what were supposed to be satellite shots, but they were so far away.
Right, they're grainy.
And as far as damage assessment, I do realize that a lot of this damage is underground.
I get that. But okay, I've seen BDA reports. That's not it. And I'm not a military guy. By the way, on Wednesday, Sam Andrews, who is a military guy, is plugged in, but we're not going to be talking much about this. We're going to be talking about the threats domestically, which RT and I are going to address as well, because that much we know about. But I am getting so tired of all of this BS back and forth, and Randy Taylor, how would you describe this, what we're seeing right now with the fracturing of the MAGA base? You got Mark Levin out there yelling and screaming and pounding the table, and anyone who dares question what we did is anti-Semitic. Look, I'm kind of in favor of what we did because, mm-hmm. okay, but not for Israel. For us, yeah. Because these bastards, these towel heads, these ragheads, and don't get me started on, oh, that's in culturally. I'm going to tell you right now, they want to kill us.
That's what they are, man.
Yeah. From Ilhan Omar, that piece of garbage, as far as I'm concerned, who should be tried for treason, yep. and hung from a lamppost. Mm-hmm.
See, she should be removed from legislative houses, along yeah. with that Rashid Tlaib. She should be gone.
Yeah, her too. AOC, and a whole lot of them.
Well, and Omar should be an easy one because she committed immigration fraud.
Well, and yes, and I've got something about Omar. You know, I was debating on this, but here's the whole issue. The reason I started with that B2 toilet and, you know, like the bed there. First of all, I did question, is the military going to show the inside of a B2? Remember the production was all under wraps. And I don't know. Hey, remember that young man who, in fact, we had him on the show?
Yeah, they've jailed people for laws.
Right, who happened to take a picture. He was standing in a submarine, and he took a couple of selfies, or mm-hmm. somebody took a picture of him, and he was arrested. Mm-hmm. He was on our show.
Crazy.
Okay,
I'm going to say that was more of a spoof.
I'm thinking that was, but the reason I wanted to kind of start off with that is not to talk about Iran, Israel, that problem looming war, but to discuss where you and I folks and Randy Taylor, Eric the Tech, I mean, we're just regular mopes out here, regular people, just trying to live our lives, and we're getting hit by, like I said, like Mark Levin screeching and Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, firing back at the Mark Levin because he called her a twit or something. I don't know what it was. And you know, for her position, and I just feel like we're being played. That's all. I just feel like we're being played. Now that doesn't mean we're not under threat. I believe the threat is real, but the threat was allowed under Clinton, under Obama, under Bush, under Biden. We got here because of them.
Yep.
I think we're looking at this wrong. Again, can we trust our with AI, especially CGI, can we even trust what's out there? We have to use our reason capabilities. And I think a lot of people don't do that anymore, which again, is why I started with that video, because seriously, you know, I mean, and if it is legit, wow. Okay. I don't think so. Double bed too. I mean, I think that was a double bed.
Yep. I don't believe what we saw.
No. So apply that to all of the news. Apply that to all of the influencers. And one thing I'm going to say right now, and Randy Taylor, I want your take on this. I don't consider myself, and I certainly don't consider this platform, a social influencer or an influencer of any type. Do you?
No.
Okay, good. Good. Because frankly, I don't think we should be in a position of influence. On the other hand, if we can influence people to the Word of God and That's something totally different. That's more of bringing people to God. That's not influencing. That's teaching. That's introducing people to God. But
and I think when they use the term influencer, it's kind of overblown. It's to me is more of an exposer, someone that is out there. I don't see him as influencing anybody's reasoning or decision making when they call them influencers on X. There's nobody on there that I go to and go, oh wow, I've been pondering that. And you have provided me the answer. I am indeed grateful. I don't find anybody to be an influencer as far as what I see. That's a name they came up with, and a lot of those people are just paid to jabber anyway.
You know, and
we're finding out more and more that people are paid than we thought were.
And you know, the amount of money that some of these people get is staggering. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think we've ever made like what they would pull down in a couple of months since we've been on air. It's you're talking, you know.
Now, AI did come back and say that thing where it said Tucker Carlson was paid by Cutter was not true.
Well, I think it was an indirect payment, but okay.
But that Grok or whatever they had said that and then there was also a community post. You know,
okay.
And community note.
That's another thing.
I question the community note, so.
Yeah, well, I question it all, including Grok, okay, because I was speaking with the Patriot doctor in Missouri that we know, and he said, do yourself a favor. Download the Grok application onto a smartphone. And I'm like, huh? Because,
right. I'll get right on that.
What language is this? Okay. Anyway, ultimately, I had it done because I deleted it too. But you can actually have conversations with it. But
that's what I want.
Yeah.
Can we name Grok anything we want?
Seriously, you can actually get a female. You can get a male. Great. You can flirt. I mean, it hurts my head to think. So, all of this to say, there's very little I believe we can trust out there, and folks in the chat. I'm appealing to you. We're appealing to you. Mm-hmm. Just be careful, because I think a lot of this is designed. A lot of these people are out there intending to split this country apart,
especially our party.
Very much. I've never seen a group of people being able to snatch victory out of, or to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. but
the way we do.
Yeah. But I think we're our own worst enemy sometimes because I think we're not paying attention to the right things, you know. And
AI may well be our downfall, Doug. One of many, but it speaks in the Bible about how people won't believe God.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But they're going to believe something else, and that may well be something like AI. You know, when they speak of that.
Well, and here's, this is almost going to sound made up and BS, but you know, I actually took my Bible yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. And I was reading some chapters from Isaiah and taking notes and the book of Revelation, of course, and just, you know, really, that's about the only source of information that you can actually trust. And then you have to use discernment there too, because of the translations and the meaning of words and, you know, anything that man put their hands on, is subject to, in my view, you better make sure what you're reading is correct. So have a concordance, or at least have a basic rudimentary understanding of Latin and Greek. If you can't, I mean, you know, if that's possible. And there are books out there that offer great translations. But I did that, and I'm thinking AI fits a lot of things here. I mean, so you're right. And I should add this. What does the big, beautiful bill contain? A lot of money for mega tech corporations pushing AI. The 10-year plan of Google and Meta and to make AI, and the targets of AI are the Christian conservatives. So, So I spent probably an hour. I'm not going to overstate it. I probably spent 90 minutes. And I'm thinking, wow, this sounds a whole lot like where we're at today. I mean, your thoughts on this, or?
No, I absolutely agree with you. I had someone had told me once that that they believed that the beast would be something like Google or AI, and this was 25 years ago.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking more that The AI will be the platform or the mechanism that will, I don't want to say create, but facilitate the Antichrist.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, because the beast gives the Antichrist his power.
Yes.
Yes. So that's kind of how that could fit in. There's a number of ways to look at that, but, you know,
The beast system, the beast. Yeah. And folks, please do me a favor. Yeah, this is another reason too. I'm talking about this is because I checked out the comments when you and I were on last week. 95% of the show was about what? Well, so you don't have to remember. We were talking about ways to like identify behavioral traits. That was like 95% of the show.
Behavioral analysis, yeah.
And maybe 3% was other stuff. And then 2%, I think you made one or two comments. Mm-hmm. So the comments, the listener or the viewer comments in Rumble, and folks, you can say whatever you want to say as long as you're not, you know.
Abusive.
Yeah, thank you. Or threatening or whatever. But I was astounded because I think your 2 minutes or two statements garnered 98% of the comments.
Well, there's a few, a couple of emails, but I did, like I said, I have my Bible and I have my beliefs. Okay.
And you do, right?
And what I got was, you need to go listen to so-and-so. Well, no, I don't. No, I do not. I don't have to go listen to so-and-so, okay? Because just because you believe that person doesn't mean I believe that person. I don't even know that person. You understand what I'm saying? So emails like that, I just delete them rather than I don't respond to them because it's counterproductive.
I did get
far more in support of what I said.
But you know the point. Okay, here's my point. They missed the point.
They missed the point of the show.
The point is they missed the point. Okay. And the focus of people today is so people are so dogmatic about their beliefs, which is great. Yeah. Here's the only thing I believe that we need to agree upon. Unconditionally agree upon that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And
he died on the cross for our sins.
And rose on the third day. And it is through Jesus that we enter the kingdom of heaven. Period. End of story. Everything else, you know what? You could, everything else is just whatever, right?
No one may enter unto the Father but by me.
Right, right. So all of the other talk about, you know, what's the real Israel? Look, you know what? It doesn't matter. It matters in terms of where we stand ultimately, you know, in foreign policy and such. But is that within our control? It's not within our control. To the extent that we vote people in. But you know that the people we vote in are bought and paid for, right? And unless we destroy the entire system and rebuild it pursuant to the Constitution, the original Bill of Rights and U.S. Constitution, it's all for naught. That's not to be fatalistic. I'm just trying to
make it simple. I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah. And like I said, I already knew what there would be a couple, but that's cool. Everybody's entitled to their own belief.
Yeah, exactly.
It's your own show, you know. You're the one that has to answer to God. We all have to answer to God. You know, so be firm in your beliefs, man.
I got to see Eric the Tech today for a while, and it was good to see him. And right after he left, too, I was watching it. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden on my television, it's weird because I don't know how to operate this computer stuff that well. And a sermon from Billy Graham came on. It was like 17 or 19 minutes. And this must have been, I don't know how many years ago. But he was talking about, will our pets be in heaven? And I'm thinking, wow, that's an important question.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And the way he went through it, pursuant to the scriptures, you know, according to the scriptures, I thought that was just a fabulous presentation. The bottom line, spoiler alert, the you know, God created animals, all life for a specific purpose. And while
I think everything we ever loved will be there.
And based on the scriptures and based on what he said, essentially, that's pretty much what he said. There will be a place.
Yep.
There is a place.
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, but again, the theme of tonight is, you know, what's important, how easily we can get deflected and divided, and how important it is for us to remain in solidarity. I've got no problem with other people's opinion. That problem, or that stops, of course, and Eric the Tech can verify this. You know, Sam Andrews is going to be on Wednesday. Appeared on our show, and because of a couple of things he said, he got two different death threats. Okay, we get death threats. To me, it's like, if you're going to kill me, don't tell me you're going to kill me and, you know, write me a letter.
If you're stupid enough to tell me, I'll be waiting.
You know, which made me think, I wonder how these other...
See, and that's the thing I always looked at with a death threat, okay, is there's a very good possibility that I'm coming to you.
Huh? Oh, I got that.
Yeah, something. You know, it's one thing when you're in school and somebody says, I'm going to kill you.
Right? Yeah.
An adult tells you that. You just put on a different pair of shoes.
It's hard for me to believe because when we spoke, and I remember doing this, when we spoke about Obergefell, against Obergefell, the homosexual Supreme Court case, we get used condoms in the mail. It got so bad that it got to the point where I wouldn't even let my wife open the mail. I would have to, and some other things too, I'm not going to get into, but I actually had to open it outside. That's how bad it was.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
But somebody actually threatened Sam?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think one voice and that's two, ridiculous. I think both were voicemails. So rather than talk about the core issues here, if we talk about dealing with the people, or not dealing with the people, but being true to you know.
Remember how we were talking about Doug being a centrist?
Which
in our politics, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So why on the MAGA side would you want to split that? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I don't understand people.
Money,
that even,
money. Greed.
I'm just saying, I don't understand why people, I'm talking about like listeners, and I understand people on the airways. I get that because they're the same people that are like clickbaiters, you know? Some of the headlines that get sent to me, they'll say, you know, listen to this and that. And all I do is I look at the URL, and part of what the message is in the URL. And I'm like, really? Really? You sent that to me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? You were a fan.
Yeah.
Really?
There was a movie, I think, what was it called? Radio? Where Pat Campbell, who's passed away from really aggressive brain cancer three, 4 years ago.
That's sad.
Yeah, very sad.
Great guy.
I love the guy. And he was telling me one day about the movie. I think it was Radio or Talk Radio. Or it was, the title was something like that, where somebody comes up to the talk show host and says, I'm your biggest fan, and then kills him. And we talked about that and his experiences, because he was very controversial, outspoken. And boy, I'll tell you what, he had a mess of threats against him. And, you know, you get to the point where you just say, okay, it's just one more throw in the pile. And, you know, but yeah, what you were saying too about the URLs, interesting. But okay. So the reason we did last week the behavioral analysis, I don't know. I think that
some people thought that was a great show. Some people thought it was a great show, Doug.
And we'll do more of that. You know, and by the way, in that, I just want to add this. Never rely on absolute statements, okay? For example, now, this is... I had said the most honest part of the human body is the feet, right? Now, generally that's true, but there's something else that has to be factored in, and that's the context. Is it physically possible for your feet to be misaligned or to be in the position they're in?
Or to face the door, so to speak. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the context is... So anyone who's... And so you have to realize... that everything you have to look at the context. So there really are very few absolutes. You know, the touching of the face, for example, that does not, man, it was written in so many books back in the 70s and 80s. Oh, that's people that do that are lying. And you know, again, it's not 100%. You cannot take a fact like that and have it true for everyone, because everyone has a different baseline. So
no, and we were kind of going with the rule, but you have to recognize there's exceptions.
Right. Right.
You know?
And to me, this is stuff that helps, like you and I and the people that listen and watch us, this can help. In fact, the one panelist on the behavior panel has written a book that's used on Wall Street, used in business corporate by big corporations and all that. But the everyday application of this for normal people like us, it's invaluable. Mm-hmm. Because how many times have folks listening and watching, how many times have you been screwed by somebody, you know? Just saying. So this is something like that
would work. Something like that would work for a banker.
You
know?
Yeah.
Is anybody that has to rely on people telling them the truth.
Right. Right. And again, the other part of this too is the one thing I've noticed, and I'm not going to let this happen to our platform, is and folks, this is not, I'm not trying to disparage anyone. You guys can talk about what you want in the chat, but here we are. We're talking about the larger issues of deception, whether it is an AI generated video or whether it's a fake video about the inside of a B-2 bomber. Discernment is so important. But as we talk about this, there's still divide and divisiveness and hate. Folks, is it really, I mean, if you really want to get involved in the discussion of Israel and backing Israel and stuff, we're not talking about that right now. And are you so dogmatic about your beliefs that you insist and you're going to shove this down the throats of other people and be nasty? If you are, I don't know. I'm sure there are other programs out there, other shows that you can watch and listen to, but I'm just saying. All right. So I don't want to address, you know, I just don't want to address a lot of this, but okay. So here's what I am concerned. Oh, and I should add this. Have you seen this, RT, where big headline with Hal Turner, and I know Steve Quayle likes Hal Turner, about anti-missile systems being installed in places around the White House in D.C.? Have you seen that?
No, not recently, no.
All right, let me read this. And excuse me, I did not send this to Eric. So I'm going to read this to you. And I've got a couple of statements about this. On his website, Flash Traffic, air defense missiles installed around the White House. And here, I'm going to read this. And then you... Oh, there it is right there on this. Thank you, Eric the Tech. He's good, isn't he? Mm-hmm. So you can put us both on, by the way, if you can, because I want to see RT's real reaction, real-time reaction. So in an utterly stunning confirmation of how much danger we Americans are now in, air defense missiles are being installed on rooftops around the White House. Let me tell you something. If you think that's new...
Yeah,
it's not new.
No.
Maybe there's been some upgrades or additions, but there have been. These have been.
Yeah, they did this after 9/11, Doug.
They did. Yeah.
They did. Anti-aircraft batteries.
And the stuff that I know about that's at the White House, on the property of the White House, and the contiguous areas, the stuff I know about would blow your socks off. So this should not be anyway. So a big deal is being made because of the action, President Trump's action against Iran. Right. We are now in danger. Now yes. In mortal, a huge
suddenly
danger. Suddenly. Okay.
Suddenly we're in danger.
And that... The sudden, the holy crap, what did he do? Now we are in deep doo-doo. Folks, I don't think this changed much of anything in terms of Iran.
Not really, no. No.
I believe that they're coming after us. They were, sure. I mean...
They were coming after us when we went into the Middle East. They're going to come after us after Iran. I'm more concerned with sleeper cells.
And that's the stuff that we're going to be talking about that I've got.
That I am not concerned about Iran firing anything over here, sending anything over here, flying over here. Not concerned at all. I am concerned about sleeper cells because the last 4 years, our border's been bleeding.
And there it is. See, it's always bothered me about Mayorkas and Biden. Even Obama had his limits, or did he? At least maybe publicly. But Biden had no limits. Come in, surge the border. Reassigned border patrol agents to be file clerks, essentially. Mayorkas, what kind of guy is that to do what he did? So this, to me, so now again, Hal Turner, great guy, I'm sure. Steve pointing this out. Look, I get this, but here is, I think Randy Taylor can attest to this based on what he found in his investigations and what I found and what we found together. This has always been the case. They've always wanted to kill us, right?
But throw this out there like suddenly because is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and we're not calling Hal ridiculous. We're just saying, look at this in the again. Here's context. Look at this in the context of the agendas, the dueling agendas out there. Okay, and I haven't talked to Steve about this, but I think he would agree with me about the context. I'm sure the intel is right, but it's nothing new because the anti-missile systems have been there.
Yep.
All right, so
they right after 9/11, they were convinced they could fly a jetliner into the White House. So that's air defense systems went up then, as far as batteries.
Yes.
All over D.C. And, okay, yeah. I mean, a couple things happened. The Concorde quit flying.
And that always bothered me because they attributed that to a crash back in, what was it?
we were turning over films, their training films that they had put online, showing the cockpit, how the place operated, how the jet operated.
Yeah.
And there became a very grave concern because they could not scramble aircraft fast enough to intercept a supersonic Concorde gone bad. And this is a very serious thing. And I honestly think because of those films and letting them know that there was a real threat that they pulled the Concorde. They gave other reasons for it, but I know the timeline of when this all happened, and I know
you were within seven months. You're fine.
Yeah.
What you found online, yeah. I think it was just over 6 months.
And we had some pretty good videos.
Yeah. Sadly, yes.
Yeah. Real good videos of the interior of the Concorde, the cockpit. Yeah.
So okay. So what, you know, what's, to me, the story, the issue, the threats have been there for a long time. This, to me, did not exacerbate anything. And of course, everyone's celebrating the peace deal, or, you know, this alleged peace deal. Okay, fine. But let's bring this back home. Let's just take a look at what's been going on that is being allowed to go on. Even as we drop bombs, what the hell's going on here? And this is what I want to focus on as well, or we're going to focus on, in addition to the collateral damage being done by certain people in this country to our conservative Christian nation. Okay, there's also damage that is coming for sure. And this is what bothers me the most. Go ahead.
Well, that and everybody, you know, all the people that are ridiculing Trump over this, you know, he didn't have permission. He didn't have a constitutional right. Everything I've seen thus far is wrong.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't recall anybody bitching and screaming when Obama pulled numerous military missions overseas Even killing a U.S. citizen without a trial. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. You remember that?
Yep.
Was the guy a bad guy? Yes. But he didn't even get a trial. He was an American citizen. He was killed overseas with a missile. Bush. None of the Iraq war, any of that, was commissioned by Congress. There was never a war declared by Congress. You know what I'm saying? So you're bitching just because it's Trump? I got a problem with that.
Or why? Yeah, okay. And if it's not just because it's Trump, then why? Mm-hmm. Okay, is it worse because it's President Trump?
I think so. It's TDS is spreading. And I think what's happened is he's not delivering on what people want fast enough. Okay? Screaming for Bondi to be fired. You know, they're picking on Bongino, you know, they're picking on Cash Patel. A lot of people don't understand the mechanics of a government. They don't understand national security. You know what I'm saying? So when they say, well, we're not going to publicize the Epstein list right now because of national security. When they said it, I didn't get too wound up about it because I get it. I understand it. It would depend who was on that list. And don't think just U.S. There can be other people on that list. You know, this is people are very impatient.
Now, this is something that you and I differ on a little bit. I, in my view, make it public. Now, because the government is relatively immune. Now, I'm not going to split hairs. Talking about the potential legal ramifications, but because they're relatively immune, make it publish the hard evidence.
Oh, thank God. I was using it for an example.
Yes.
But I'm saying it was months ago when people were barking and they said because of national security. And I understood at that time. I get it.
You
can publish it. And guess what? Every person on that list has the right to defend themselves.
Right. Now,
you know, so publish it.
Then the question, of course, becomes, okay, because of the delay, you've got something being presented by the Department of Justice. Okay.
Maybe an ongoing case, of child trafficking or something. I don't know.
I don't either. I don't either.
But in absence of, and if you can't tell us, then release it.
I'm in favor of that.
I say at this point, let the chips fall where they're going to fall.
Exactly.
Let it work it out. I'm pretty sure I've always believed there was something wrong with Bill Gates.
Oh, wait, okay. Bill Gates, the Ghislaine or the Virginia Giuffre. And again, how can we be absolutely certain of the authenticity of that message from that woman who allegedly committed suicide? Bottom line, she's no longer with us.
There's a one actor that on the manifest that I had seen.
Isaac Cappy.
Chris Tucker.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The other side of it.
And then I was really surprised because he's very funny. He's a funny guy. I've watched his movies and all. And then when I saw that, but I saw it was like multiple visits.
Of course.
Down there. And I'm like, whoa, like we said before, you can go the one time, and I understand. Anybody could get tricked into that. Anyone could, okay? Because he didn't run around and tell everybody, hey, I'm a sexual deviant, come to my island. That's not what he said to everybody. That wasn't the facade. You know what I mean? This guy was a hedge fund manager. This guy had contacts. He had, he knew a lot of people. And he was a businessman. He just had this really dark side.
But he was also CIA, Mossad, MI6.
Well, we don't know who all had their hands in that cookie jar.
Yeah, I'm sure that he had the good. But you mentioned about the anyone could get trapped. I was thinking about this. because I've gone to so many conferences, and man, I've taken pictures with a lot of people. I don't know why they'd want, you know, seriously. But
you mean you're not having sex with her, Doug?
Right. So I was thinking, my goodness, you know,
well,
what would it take? All of a sudden, somebody gets picked up. That was like a really, really like a serial killer. Okay. Yeah. Which of course is absurd to think, but hey, stranger things have happened. So, all right. So on the serial killer's phone, you know, there's me with the geeky smile, you know, arm around the person.
We're talking about when they found DTK's phone and Doug was in the home. So.
Jeez.
Good, okay. No, look on your face for a second. What?
I
never bought that picture with thing. That means shit to me.
Yeah, because seriously. You don't know. I mean,
it's nothing, Doug. That President means nothing. Trump, to me.
I mean, think of how many photographs he's taken with people that he doesn't know.
Yeah, people run up. There's people slamming Trump like they're Democrats. But they're standing next to Trump in the White House.
Yeah.
And you see him because he lets people in and he poses with them. These are people on tour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just because you see Trump with Epstein standing at a social wearing tuxedos doesn't mean that that is at Epstein Island.
Correct. You know,
that
applies to everybody.
Yeah.
Period. I mean...
Absolutely.
Unless you lead a cloistered life. And anyway, but
what I probably have a problem with is guys wearing dresses and they're in paintings and pictures. And
there you go.
That's what I got a problem.
Yeah. Bill Clinton, famous blue dress picture. Okay. So, okay. But without getting too far astray here. The thing that concerns us is what is taking place here in the U.S. that was really exacerbated or I don't want to say started, but really was exacerbated by Mayorkas and Biden. And we have to pay attention because the threat is here on the ground in rural, coming to rural areas in places, folks, you're not going to expect. And it's starting. So there's a couple of different threats. I'm going to show you this one. I thought of you, RT, for obvious reasons. Myself, we've been screaming about this forever since we started working together. Here's cut 8. This is what is planned for the U.S. This is cut 8. It's a minute long, but understand this is the mindset of the people of the Islamic terrorist crowd. This is their mindset. I've seen this. RT and I have seen this in Buffalo, New York. We've seen this in Florida. Both of us have been to both locations together. And this is representative of what the one level of threat is. This is cut 8. It's a minute 7. Here it is.
We are buying these churches. We bought 3 churches so far, converted them to masjids, and now we have one we are buying with a school to make it, because we have to serve the same people. The people who were part of that community, one day they will be Muslims. So we'll make it into a masjid and an Islamic school for our children and their children, inshallah. 100 years ago, they invaded the Muslim world and they built missionary schools and destroyed Islamic schools and masjids. Today, we bring the favor back, turn their churches into masjids and their schools into Islamic schools. bring the light of Islam to here. We're able to buy ready to go institutions that have been there for a long time, but they emptied out. And now it is time to be filled with Muslims, with reverts, converts. This is an election year, but we're not going to be happy with either candidate. We have to be happy when Islam becomes the best candidate for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Islam the victory in this country.
All right. So that would seem to just the ordinary person on the street pretty boring and pretty, yeah, okay, so what? The concept here, in my view, and RT, talk about this, because, look, I believe that this takeover is happening with just at a ferocious pace.
Yep. Across North America, Canada and U.S.
Yes. And to those people who are saying, well, that's not going to happen because people won't let it happen. I got this for you.
Let it happen.
Yeah. Well, take a look at this. 35 seconds. I hope I put that in here. This is happening in, yes, video 9. You heard what this imam said in Florida. That was cut 8 in the show notes, HagmanPI.com. Here's cut 9, 35 seconds. What did that guy say? Just cut 8? Okay. Now watch cut 9. Here it is.
You'll be excused to think that this is a church, but as is the case across the UK, we've took it over. It's now actually a mosque, a masjid. Christianity is depleting. Atheism is unfulfilling. Islam is here and is here to stay. The British people, they may not like it, but as is the case with many things, there may be something which you don't like, which is good for you. So carry on making those churches for us. Keep them empty. We'll buy them in a few years' time and we'll make them into a mosque.
Your thoughts, Randy Taylor?
Well, we know they're doing it. We know they're doing it. And any, oh man, when we were in, I remember we were in Florida. There, we went to the care office. The one thing that we noticed as we drove around the neighborhood was. This was a rather, I'm going to say, poor neighborhood. And what they had done, but you notice as you got closer to the mosque, the houses were nicer.
Yes.
And what we realized after looking into it is they were buying, the mosque was buying up the houses and giving them to people. Okay?
Yeah.
And remember, they've got a interest-free money borrowing system within Islam. Okay, so I mean, you could have a mortgage with no interest whatsoever. But they were doing this, and we noticed around the church, around the mosque, excuse me, around the care office, and there, and it was much. The houses were nice, and then you hit the ring, and you could tell where it stopped. But if you go back, going back a couple months later, and even more houses were bought, and now they were fixed up. And this is what they do. They go in, they do this in Africa. They do it in the U.S. They're doing it in Canada. They go in Africa, they go into villages where the people are starving. And what do they do? What do they do? They bring food. So the people that are feeding them now say, here, come to mosque with us. Come pray with us. Of course, if they're feeding you, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, see what I'm saying? And this is their approach is very smart that way. And you've got to understand something. They have heavy Saudi money behind them.
Very much.
Heavy. And I know Saudi's supposed to be, you know, an ally of the U.S. Remember something. When you look at Saudi Arabia, the royal family might be an ally of the U.S., but there's princes scattered all over Saudi Arabia, okay? They're not loyal to the U.S., and they're dumping the dollars into the U.S. and Canada. They're building mosques. They're buying up churches, and they're renovating these neighborhoods. They are trying to take over the world. So what that man said, do not disregard it.
So
once again, they tell you what their battle plan is, and everybody just blows it off and ignores it. What do you need? A kick in the head? They came to you. The Muslim Brotherhood, they told us what they were going to do, and doing it. They're following it to the letter. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
I believe it got posted on the site, didn't it? The project?
I think that was one that did, yes.
Okay, you got to read that. The first part's in Arabic. Go down about 17 pages, and there's the English translation directly below it. And it's not a made-up translation. It's word for word. It came off Steve Emerson's site. It is accurate.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
But the point is, they told us what they're doing. And they did this back in the early 70s. That's when that paperwork was found.
Yeah.
In a hotel in Europe. Yeah.
It hurts my head to really.
Unbelievable. It'd be like being in the Vietnam War and a VC guy that speaks English runs into the tent and says, we think he's got a bomb. No, he's bringing in the battle plans. And we look at him and go, we're going to beat their asses. They'll never do that.
That's a good analogy.
But that's what just happened.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't get it. And then we're going to wonder when we're fighting in the streets. Why?
But, okay.
Do you not think that people do not remember a place called Bosnia?
Yeah. I was talking with a guy from who came over from Bosnia when he was two, what a mess. Yeah. So, okay. So the cultural war that is upon us, you heard the two imams. Now, again, this is not just about Islam. Islam is is not a religion. It is a political system masquerading as a religion. Okay. So this is a cultural attack that we've been under for a long time.
And why does it pose as a religion? Because it can hide and be safe, because it utilizes the comforts and security and protections provided to every legitimate religion. And it's correct. Not a religion. It's a political system. And get that through your heads.
Amen to that.
Everyone.
Okay. Now let's move one. So the cultural attack has been we've been under attack culturally now for a long time. Okay. Remember, politics downstream from culture. Culture is downstream from spirituality. We've given up. Many people have tossed God to the curb, and this is the result. Okay. Now let's go to a more in your face, threat of attack domestically. This is attributed to a lot of this is good. People, when stuff goes off, it's going to be said, well, it's because Trump bombed Iran's nuclear. No, and hell no. This has everything to do with the takedown and takeover of the U.S. that's been in the works for how many years? A lot of years. And you can go back to 1776, and folks who know, you know. Okay. But here is Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Now, he's a nice guy, very, very well informed. I've had many conversations with him. This is cut four, and this is today. He's talking about sleeper cells attacks in the U.S. Pay attention to this now. because, yeah, you've got the bringing food, building mosques, or, you know, buying churches, converting them into mosques, the sound of prayer, the Islamic call to prayer heard in how many cities now across the U.S.? New York City, they've got their own Islamic police force. Kind of not to be confused with the communist Chinese police force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got police cars. They have Islamic police cars, man.
Yeah, they do. That look like NYPD cars. Okay. So here is cut four. Lieutenant Colonel Allen B. West. Pay attention to what he says here. Go ahead. Cut four.
Yeah, that has always been the big concern. It was just last fall when ICE put out the number that there were some 600,000 criminal illegal immigrants in this country. And for whatever reason, we have people that believe they should stay here. But when you heard Tom Homan talking about, you know, 1 million, 1.5 million, 2 million gotaways, these are the people that came across the border here in Texas, which has 1,249 miles of it. Out in West Texas, in the Big Bend Mountain area, they did not want to be detected. They were wearing carpeting on the bottom of their shoes. And so that's a huge concern that these individuals are here. And you just mentioned the tens of thousands of Chinese single military age males. My big concern is not so much a large sporting event or anything like that, but when they get out to some of these small rural areas and they start to attack the soft targets there, start to attack churches, start to attack people in their homes, that's where the big concern comes into, because I think that everyone is paying attention to the large metropolitan areas. So we do have a big issue, and we need to all be vigilant, and that's why the Founding Fathers gave us the Second Amendment right.
Randy Taylor, you can probably speak to this more than anyone. I mean, anyone not directly doing this, because you've done this, but, I mean, you know more about this than a lot of people forgot. Go ahead.
They are here. They've been here. This isn't something that just happened, and it didn't all just happen under Biden. They were here before. They will. Listen, what you have to remember about Iran more than any other Islamic state, okay? Iran, more than any other Islamic country, believes in a caliphate. More than anyone. Okay? They believe in their... And I forget, what is it, 13th or the 15th diamond coming back? And
yeah, I think 13th, yeah.
Yeah, these people are so devout in these beliefs. And they, and we talked about the Arab Spring before and the New World Order, and their idea of a New World Order is a Muslim's in charge.
Right.
The Muslim's running the earth. And that's what people have got to remember more than anything. So after 9/11... it became very aware that we had terror cells within the country. Okay, and I'm not talking about the guys who flew the airplanes in, or and we can argue about that all day long. There's already terror cells in the country. They've been in the country. There were terror cells in the country before 9/11. Okay, there's been terror cells in the country for decades upon decades upon decades. Okay, some were brought in as children or adults now. Under Biden, it was a wide open, you guys saw it, Eagle Pass and all. People were just trucking in here. Nobody questioning anybody. Okay,
that's right.
And if the people came in that easy, we have no idea what equipment came in. We don't know. We have no idea, but they are poised to attack. And when Iran threatened the U.S. and said, if you bomb us, you know, blah, 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 you know, the U.S. is going to pay. They're talking about that more than anything. I'll be honest with you.
Yep.
With our 4th of July coming up, I have concerns. I have serious concerns.
Don't look at Washington, D.C. necessarily. Look at Des Moines.
Yes.
Look at a place you'd never think.
Small town USA, because they're soft targets, there won't be resistance.
That's right.
Okay. The typical law enforcement isn't prepared for an Islamic terror attack. They're not.
And to what we opened with, people have to realize too, I think, that some of these more recent attacks, you know, the people running people over in like the New Year's Day parade, that was done and posted to Islamic sites in the name of Islam.
Yep. The firebombing.
Yeah.
I think it was in Colorado.
Yes. You notice
more and more Muslim names.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not just happenstance.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's some serious cells out there. Iran has been eyeballing our nuclear sites and facilities for decades.
But they're not going to bomb them by flying planes over America. They infiltrate, and a lot of them have. I mean, assets will infiltrate these various sites.
They could go in and just shut down the cooling towers.
There you go.
And guess what? There's a town or a city gone.
And everything downwind of that.
You got it. This is an enemy that you don't underestimate.
No.
You cannot underestimate them. I don't know. I think a lot of it, too, is people don't. It's like they've already gotten fuzzy on the Iraq war and the insurgent groups in Iraq. And, picture those guys gone bananas. You know, those guys were very organized, very, 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 very organized. And they weren't even state sponsored.
That's a good point. That's a really great point.
They were loosely sponsored, but not really state sponsored. Now you're talking about state sponsored, state trained Iraq Revolutionary Guard members in the United States poised to strike. There will be casualties.
And they would have done that. They were going to do it regardless of what we did or didn't do.
You got it.
So
what Trump did would probably just speed up the process. No matter what, they want to take down the great Satan. Folks, please tell me this is news to you. No, this shouldn't be news to you. You should know this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening to this program, you should know this. They want to take down the great Satan.
Yep.
Did anybody remember that even in Iraq, they had the Shiite militias in there? And Iran was proxy fighting Shiite militias against our troops. So we're over here fighting the Sunni groups. And remember they kept talking about a civil war in Iraq? Well, that's because the Shiites were in there. And they were lobbying. We were watching mortars come in, and then we'd find the pile of mortars, and they were from Iran. The markings were right on the mortars.
Yeah.
Come on.
And to your point, guess what? It was confirmed now. It has been. And this is from Just the News, John Solomon. Bassem Youssef. Clinton knew and covered it up. Again, to your point about things happening, and this is to my opening point is, you know, again, we have been lied to so much, whether it is an altered image or whether pick an area, but we are being lied to constantly. And those lies many times lead to ideological divides and splits, and it's taking our country down, and we should be paying attention to this.
Yes, we need to stop it.
So this is 3 minutes. To me, so important to really understand this, because if you understand this, I think you'll understand pretty much what's going on today. Here is cut three. Clinton knew and covered it up. Watch this and apply the information you get from this to what Randy Taylor was just saying. Different circumstance, plural, same concept. Here's cut three. 3 minutes.
President Clinton knew all along back 3 decades ago that Iran had been behind the Khobar Towers bombing. I think 19 Americans died in that facility. And yet he kept it a secret. You have an anecdote. I don't think I ever heard it totally until you and I talked earlier today. But you're trying to get this investigated. Tell us the story of how Bill Clinton tried to interfere in the FBI's ability to prove Iran was behind the Saudi Khobar Towers terror attack.
So just to give you a little backdrop, John, I was named the legal attaché in Riyadh in early 1997. And at that time, the relations between the Saudi Mabahith and the FBI were a bit strained because each side was blaming the other for lack of cooperation. But within a very short period of time, the Saudi Mabahith really was cooperating with us in a wonderful way. And we began to realize in a very short period of time that Iran's fingerprints are all over this terrorist attack. It was perpetrated by Hezbollah al-Hijaz. Al-Hijaz is that region in the eastern province in Saudi Arabia. And it's a small stronghold of Shiites who basically are not on good terms with the rest of Saudi Arabia because there are Shiites. What ended up happening is, I believe, within a month, we were certain that Iran was the one that supported this attack. The Mercedes-Benz truck where they had the explosives was actually from was driven from Iran, and it was prepared in Iran and then brought across to the Gulf. So with that. With that being the case, and the cooperation was at an all-time high, it was around June of 1997, the then President Bill Clinton and then Secretary of Defense William Cohen came with a letter from President Clinton to the Crown Prince, and basically saying that we are going to let the Iranians know that they have two of the perpetrators of the attack on their soil, and we're demanding that they hand them over. The problem with that is that when the Saudis gave us that information, it was singular in nature, and it was meant to be just for our consumption and not for worldwide distribution. That caused quite a bit of a ruckus between us and the Saudis. And the reason that this was done, that Bill Clinton was actually trying to completely destroy the investigation and sabotage the investigation, because if you recall, he did promise that we would, as the U.S., we would retaliate militarily against any country that sponsored this act of terror. And when we were sending the information and the intelligence to the White House Situation Room that it's Iran, all of a sudden he began to backpedal. And wow, that was just one incident, but there are several others where there was absolute sabotage on the front end and the tail end of the investigation.
I reported on this for years. I'd never heard this story until Bassem and I talked earlier today. Incredible. Such a powerful story. Democrats appeasing Iran. It never helped us all these years later.
Right.
Yeah. Bassem, you said.
Okay. I know this to be a fact because Randy Taylor, in the investigation, post 9/11 investigations, turned over information very similar to what this gentleman was talking about. Now, this happened, and the reason this caught my attention, this was 29 years ago Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. It was June 25th, 1996. And here's what happened in a nutshell. Bill Clinton put a cap on the CIA, FBI, and DSS. And U.S. Air Force Special Investigations, which they've got a pretty powerful investigative unit. And They deep sixed the entire investigation. Clinton strong armed them, saying, you're not going to go any, you're not going to identify the culprits behind this attack, the Escobar Towers attack. Now, consider if you're the family of Captain Christopher Adams or Master Sergeant Michael Heiser. Gee, we know him, Michael Heiser. Or Staff Sergeant Kevin Johnson. You'd want to see justice for the victims. These are victims. 19 U.S. Air Force personnel were killed in that attack. These are victims. And the only thing that happened was, oh, they expanded perimeters around certain locations by 500 feet. What a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm. There was some kind of wrongful death trial related to that.
There was, and
because our friend Bruce Tuff testified in that.
Yes, I remember that. And gee, whatever happened to that? Yeah. Do we know? No, it wasn't made public. But there, I believe there was a settlement made mm-hmm. by the U.S. government on that.
So
now,
couldn't silence Bruce.
Bruce. Should we have said his name? It's yeah, too late fine. Now. All right.
He's underground.
He must be because
I haven't seen hide nor hair of him.
My goodness. But see, here's again the opening of this. Are we focusing on the right things? Are we being, I mean, we're being lied to all of the time. Mm-hmm.
And it's serving as distractions, guys.
Right. Oh, and hey, go to Wikipedia and do the research using Wikipedia only on the Khobar Tower bombings. Do you realize that 2 days ago, that whole thing was essentially the Khobar Tower bombings 2 days ago was edited and not in a good way. And so this keeps happening over and over, and social media won't touch this. And to what you said earlier, too, when we showed that video, AI now is focusing on stuff like this to rewrite history. So who in the hell do we trust? And it, should our arguments be really about, well, Israel and Iran and you know, it's not the real Israel. It's not, should is that the best use of our intellectual prowess?
That's the focus, really.
Yeah. We should be looking at the problems here. And if am I, when they, is this
when
resonating?
They start, when they, 'cause I'll tell you right now. When the Muslims start shooting at us in the street, they're not going to ask you whether you're a fan of Israel or not.
they don't, I promise, give two, you. They don't, I give promise two shits you. If you're wearing a...
They won't,
wearing
a, yeah. They yeah. won't ask you.
Yeah,
they don't care.
And really, the first ones to go are the ones holding the signs, you know, the pro-Palestinian stuff and the pro-Israel. And
queers for Palestine. I'm like...
Yeah. Yeah,
they'll be the first. I'm still trying to figure that one out. That's like chickens for KFC, you know? Do people realize what they do to queer people overseas? I'm like, what?
So, you know, again, I just, all I want to do, if you know, Randy, if you and I can just make a point or convince people to realign their focus.
Stay focused.
Stay focused. That's right.
But you got to realign that focus, as Doug's talking about, at who the true enemy is. It's not each other here. It's not about that group of MAGA.
No.
It's not.
And
we've got enough problems. We've got our hands full with the Democrats. Why do you want to fight amongst ourselves? What? I don't get it.
And the fight, I really believe that this is one issue that is needlessly ripping apart the Christians in our midst.
And I'm gonna just say it: if you're out there and you have a show, and this is what your focus is all wrong.
Right.
Do not divide.
Because we're being played.
We're absolutely being played.
And this goes back to last week's show. Learn, in one case, learn the practical applications of knowing when you're being played, and body language is part of it. Paralinguistic is part of it. So if you can, sure, it's a very small part, but it's an important part, especially in your everyday life. So again, this is what I really want to do, because I
think they need to focus on the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is there's people out there that want to kill us. They're inside of our borders.
And again, you did it again. I've got a video. This is an important video.
Which is funny, because I don't know what the videos are at the time. I see a title. That's about it.
Okay. So what do we have? The biggest push against American citizens came from the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the war against parents who spoke out of school boards. I'm talking about the war against churches, Christian conservatives all over the place. And actually, this was the division of the Department of Justice that went after that propagated the Russia collusion hoax. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. So think about this. California, for example, Newsom is off the rails and bringing in, they're protecting the illegal criminal aliens in California. Newsom is. Harmeet Dhillon just became, or is heading up the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice. One of the most important things that's not being reported right now is what Randy Taylor was just talking about, or referencing. And that is going after the very people who are harboring these illegals who are intent on doing us harm, that have been let in mass over the last 5 years, well, under the Biden regime, under Mayorkas. And isn't it interesting that the Biden regime, Mayorkas, they're walking around not in cuffs. However, Newsom now is facing...
They're acting like everybody that came in was a Mexican farm worker. It's not right. The case.
Not. And some working as farm workers, that's their day job. Believe me, everything is not what it seems with some of these illegals. So here's cut five. Now, folks, bear with us. This is going to be a long video, but it's so important. Oh, and I want to make this announcement. Tomorrow night, we're going to be dark, and Friday, we're going to be dark. Next week, I'm going to be off the entire week because of surgery. And thank you for your prayers. Thank you for, above all, for your patience. But we'll be back. Randy Taylor and I are going to be back stronger than ever. So tomorrow's going to be dark, and Friday's going to be dark. Let's play cut five. Here it is.
One of my favorite people. This is a treat. Because we're not going to spend all our time talking about this war. I'm telling you, we're not taking that bait. We're going to do what we need to do to make sure that you are up to speed on everything, right? We'll just have to do it succinctly. Harmeet Dhillon joins us. This audience knows Harmeet for many, many years. Harmeet's now head of the Civil Rights Division in the Justice Department, one of the most powerful jobs in the entire United States government. First off, Harmeet, can you just give our audience what your job is, Civil Rights Division, how big it is, everything that you guys deal with?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, Steve. The Civil Rights Division, as you say, has been described as one of the crown jewels of the United States government and Department of Justice, certainly. At its peak, right before I took office, there were about 600 people in the Civil Rights Division, over 400 attorneys and a couple of hundred other staff. And now we're a little bit reduced on the attorney side by about 200 lawyers have left the department because they didn't like our changes in policy, which I'll get to. But importantly, the Civil Rights Division is charged with the administration of all of the federal civil rights laws in so many different categories, including voting rights and disabilities, age discrimination, employment discrimination, discrimination in our schools. So Title IX, Title VI, most of the titles involving anything having to do with discrimination, but also protecting our service members. And as I mentioned, expansive authority over the administration of the federal voting statutes.
Harmeet, correct me if I'm wrong, but and when people talked about, particularly conservatives and folks like yourself have been engaged in this for a long time, the Mike Davis of the world, folks like that, talked about the radicalization of the Justice Department. Many, many times people would focus on this very division of the Justice Department that's something that had really gotten out of control. Is that a fair statement, ma'am?
Absolutely correct. I mean, I've been a litigator for over 30 years here in the United States, Steve. And what I found time and again when I go into court to defend a sort of constitutionalist perspective on a particular issue as opposed to a radical Marxist perspective, I'm often going up against lawyers who at the beginning of their careers were incubated, if you will, into these left-wing ideologies here in the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. And there are some people who made their entire careers of 30 or 40 years or more in the DOJ Civil Rights Division, really weaponizing the American even-handed and very wise civil rights laws for a particular political purpose. And our side has typically engaged in unilateral disarmament, if you will, by simply when we get into office, just trying to slow down the rot, slow down the left-wing drift, as opposed to actually harnessing these civil rights laws, which are written for all Americans, not just some, and then using it to advance the rights of all Americans. That is my vision for the Civil Rights Division. That is what President Trump asked me to do. And that is what we are aggressively doing. We are absolutely pursuing the president's agendas here in the Civil Rights Division. And that means enforcing our federal discrimination laws and our civil rights laws for all Americans, not just for a narrow few.
So, Harmeet, when you first came on, I mean, you were the A block on MSNBC for like three nights in a row. Really, Chris Hay, Ari Melber, Rachel Maddow, they were in full and complete and total meltdown when you stepped in. Why was that, ma'am? Why did MSNBC particularly, why spend all those guys, the legal experts they have, because they spend at least 50% of their time on legal issues. Why did they vapor lock over Harmeet Dillon stepping into the Civil Rights Division?
Yeah, well, there was this hysterical ululation across the left because on day eight of the day that I was here in office, I sent out memos to different sections explaining to them that whatever they had been spending their time with, mainly working from home, by the way, was over, and we were going to be focusing on an even-handed application of the civil rights laws. And there were some departments that were particularly hard hit because they had been going after police systematically using junk science and very weaponized cherry-picking of facts to make cases against police departments with the political goal, not the legal goal, but the political goal of defunding the police around the United States. And we put that to an end. And these are the pet projects of people who really came here to do their pet projects, to say that there's a racial component to environmental justice. I mean, just basically mixing and matching all Marxist concepts together and using that. People have learned this in law school and they wanted to do it for their careers, and I took their toys away. And that was what caused a lot of people to be very upset and quit. We had over 220 lawyers quit or take an early retirement here from Civil Rights Division, which is okay because we really need to have lawyers here who are willing to pursue the even-handed application of our federal civil rights laws and not use them for their pet political purposes. And so I'm looking now forward to restaffing here, and the team we have right now is 100% dedicated, and we've already done so much work to advance the interests of all Americans and faith and election laws just across so many different sections here in civil rights.
Harmeet, you've always been a big believer and advocate for federalism, but what we're seeing, at least in the war room, and I come from Richmond, Virginia, so I know a couple of things about the study of history. This, when I see California and people like Gavin Newsom and sanctuary cities and how about their selective, their selective application of federal law, I see neo-Confederates. How are you dealing right. with some of these states, and particularly governor, in that regard about their about federal law and the implementation of federal law?
Well, Steve, you're exactly correct. While we both believe in federalism, there are a few aspects of our laws that are exclusively for the federal government to deal with. And one of those, of course, and the most sacred of those, perhaps, is the protection of our borders. That is the president's purview. And many states, not just California, but certainly more in the west left coast, if you will, have been absolutely flouting federal protocols in this regard and openly harboring millions of illegal aliens in our country. And so we've taken that head on. And, you know, I mean, the DOJ, other departments of the DOJ have defended the president's executive orders and gone toe-to-toe with Gavin Newsom on these issues. The National Guard issue is one that's been in the headlines, where a federal judge in San Francisco basically said the president couldn't do what other presidents have done and call up the National Guard in times of national unrest. And so we've actually won that issue temporarily in the Ninth Circuit, and I'm sure it'll be the subject of further litigation. But in the Civil Rights Division, to give you one example, we sent a letter from the Civil Rights Division signed by me 2 weeks ago to California Interscholastic Federation, which is the sort of sports league that manages all the K-12 sports in California. And we said, look, the definition of gender is not a thing. It's sex, and it's female and male. And it is a violation of the law to allow boys to take girls' trophies and steal girls' opportunities to thrive in the sports context in our schools. And we're asking each school to confirm that they're not doing this discrimination. Well, okay, California's response to this was to sue me.
Yeah. And you can finish watching that, folks. I would suggest you do so. That's a separate topic, but
I like her.
Yeah, I do too. But this is the stuff that's not being reported on. These are issues, or these are people in places within the under the direct management of the White House that are making a difference. And are being challenged, of course, by people like Newsom and others. And I would include Tim Walz in that. These people are going to feel some pain, I believe, for what they have done and what they're doing with respect to harboring these criminals. Okay. And that's a big deal. Some might even say, think back to the Civil War, okay, in terms of, you know, what states were doing in opposition of our country. But I don't want to get too deep into that. But so you've got Newsom providing sanctuary. You've got Walz providing sanctuary on a state level to illegal criminals. You've got others doing the same. And Harmeet Dhillon is telling Steve Bannon, Steve Bannon opened it up and said, look, I want to get, everyone's talking about Iran and Israel and all this stuff, and let's focus on this. Mm-hmm. And again, that's kind of what I'm looking at. Not because I'm not equipped. There's a time and a place to talk about that. That's not this episode. This episode is directed at you and I and all of us. Put our focus on what's happening domestically.
Yeah, we do need to knock down some of the distractions.
Yeah.
And it's getting to the point that the war thing is a distraction, and it's certainly causing division. You know, and it's bad enough, the left and the right. I mean, the Democrats in this country suck, okay, because when the president does something, all they want to do is badmouth him and try and contest him. And now we've got the group that put them in the White House fighting each other. And this is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Knock it off.
Yeah. 100%.
It's childish. It's counterproductive. Right now, it's the U.S., okay? trying to solve a lot of problems that have been brought on by four horrible years of mismanagement of this country. Okay. And we've got Iran. And
I would say 40, President, 46, yeah, you know, but, if you want to be.
But President, yeah, go on. President Trump felt it necessary to strike Iran. That's it. End of story. We put him in the White House to make those decisions.
That's, yeah, that's right.
It. It's done.
Okay. Now, because of time, Randy Taylor, because of time, I want to get this in. Mike Davis, Google and Meta, because this also plays into this whole picture, this mosaic, this tapestry of all of these issues. And I saw a comment in chat about, you know, look, I understand there are other groups out there fighting against Christian conservatives and tearing, you know, attempting to tear that coalition apart. I understand that. But there is an element within. But anyway, that aside, just think about this again in the context of today, the AI, Google and Meta using a 10-year AI rules pause to crush conservative voices. This is absolutely frightening. And guess what's funding it? That big, beautiful bill. So let's play a few minutes of this. This is actually an 11-minute video. We're not going to play the entire 11 minutes, but here's Mike Davis. And I think it will give you enough to get the gist of this intent, which, wow, when you think about it, it's mind-blowing. This is cut six. Here it is.
Of Harmeet in the Civil Rights Division, because this is the one Weissman, when she was announced on Ari Melber and on Nicole Wallace, he had the crocodile tears coming down, because the Civil Rights Division is kind of their baby, is it not?
Harmeet Dillon is doing a phenomenal job at the Trump 47 Justice Department. She's the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. Remember, this is where Biden's Kristen Clark ran the lawfare against parents outraged by gender chaos in schools and the resulting rapes in bathrooms, pro-life Christians praying at abortion clinics while giving amnesty to Hamas terrorists, Antifa terrorists, BLM terrorists, trans terrorists. Harmeet Dillon has decades of experience as a civil rights litigator. She's a minority woman, so they can't say that she's some racist white dude like they say we are. So she's doing a phenomenal job. She's putting points on the board very early. She's suing the states and local governments that are discriminating against Americans based upon race, based upon religion, DEI, anti-Semitism. I am Harmeet Dillon's biggest fan.
Listen, you're a strong believer in the 10th Amendment federalism. I'd actually say I probably go more even to the states' rights, you know, farther than even that a little bit. But what's happening in California, explain to our folks why would Gavin Newsom, particularly people believe in states' rights and people believe in the federalism and the 10th Amendment is the most important amendment of all. Why what Gavin Newsom is doing in California is not that. It's when I say he's a neo-Confederate, I mean he's a neo-Confederate, sir.
Because as we've talked about for years on your show, Steve, the Constitution is a loan agreement between we the people and our government, state government, federal government, tribal government. And we lend specific, enumerated, and divided powers to the federal government, including the president having the commander-in-chief power, including Congress having the power to control immigration, and including the president's ability, his duty to enforce our laws. And immigration and protecting our border and protecting our country from an invasion is squarely within the president's Article 2 commander-in-chief and executive powers. All other powers not specifically enumerated in the Constitution belongs to the states and to we the people as confirmed in the 10th Amendment. But think about it this way. We have foreign nationals flying foreign flags in one of America's largest cities, Los Angeles, and going to war against federal immigration officials. Of course, the president of the United States can call up the National Guard in California to put down this riot, this insurrection, real insurrection against America, not grandmas trespassing and taking selfies on the Senate floor, walking through velvet ropes and following police direction. This is a real insurrection in California as opposed to January 6th. And the president not only has the power, he has the duty to put this down. Are we supposed to just wait until they caused billions of dollars in damage and then wait for their federal handout so we can pay for their DEI disaster in Los Angeles? No thanks.
Mike Davis.
So one thing I forgot, or I made a mistake here, that was the appearance of Mike Davis following Harmeet Dhillon with Steve Bannon. In fact, it was a beautifully arranged and Mike Davis commenting on Harmeet Dhillon's actions. What follows next in that clip is the Google Meta plans this 10-year AI rules pause to crush conservative voices. Spoiler alert, it's being funded by our own government in the big, beautiful bill. So watch that. The entire clip will be at HagmanPI.com. Watch the entire thing. and so really, both sections, both parts are relevant. The first part that we just heard about what's really taking place, the fight in California as really the battleground against what Randy Taylor and I have been talking about all night. The establishment of bases really within our borders of hostile groups that Randy Taylor has spent a quarter century investigating. And I've taken part in that as well. So that's equally important. But also the silencing of the Christian conservatives is also important, because one really relates to the other very closely. People don't want you to, or the people in power, certain people in power don't want you to know these things. So they're going to use your tax dollars to shut you up. Randy Taylor, I didn't mean to.
No, what a mess. You know. What a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Which, you know, having a line item veto power would be a fantastic thing, but it's not a thing and it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then you've got this fight on both sides. Oh, you've got to pass the bill. Or, the bill is a terrible idea pick a reason. There are plenty of reasons to go around. So, yeah, what a mess.
And it's really crazy that, like you said, this big, beautiful bill is financing this.
Yeah.
This is, it's not good.
Do we have time, Eric the Tech, do we have time to pick that up at that break, at that pause? Okay. Because again, this is important, because this speaks to what the intent is, how they're going to shut us up. How, the time period, the opportunity that's being presented. I mean, you've got motive, means, opportunity, the entire thing represented by Mike Davis here. So if we can pick that up just for a couple of minutes here, because again, this is critical. Go ahead.
This thing that, and listen, they only got a couple of votes in the House and there's so many changes going on, folks. We're going to now do a lot of focus on the great, big, beautiful bill, because the polling's terrible, because they have a message, right? You got this, you got cuts, you got that. But MTG and a couple of folks are so outraged by this slipping in this artificial intelligence thing for the tech bros that their heads are blown up. And MTG, she's saying she's a hard no. With MTG and a couple other people, this thing ain't going to pass the House. Mike Davis, why are you so worked up? You're kind of the guardian of this, particularly against big tech. How outrageous is this, what they did, sir?
I would say this. Cheers to Marjorie Taylor Greene, along with Marsha Blackburn and Josh Hawley and many others in the House and Senate. These trillion-dollar big tech monopolists, Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple, have been crushing competition, shuttering small businesses, and canceling conservatives and others with whom they disagree for decades. They had Section 230 immunity, an antitrust amnesty by the government, which made this possible. We're finally holding them accountable on a bipartisan basis with the state AGs, with the Justice Department, with Gail Slater at the Justice Department, with Andrew Ferguson at the FTC. And now Big Tech's next play is to steal everyone's copyrights. They say to train their AI machine so they can compete against China, they claim. So they think that we should steal like China to compete against China. They think that we should have slave labor like China to compete against China. This is going to destroy the American creative industry. It's going to destroy American news media, particularly conservative news media like the War Room that relies on old-fashioned advertising to pay its bills, clicks, and advertising. It doesn't have China and Soros and other left-wing sugar daddies underwriting the War Room. It's through the War Room posse clicking on ads and spending money on Birch Gold and other advertisers. And so what these AI platforms are trying to do is they're trying to slip into the big, beautiful bill, a 10-year moratorium where states and local governments cannot touch AI. This is Section 230 on steroids. It means that when these AI chatbots are telling kids to kill themselves and these parents want to get recourse, they can't get recourse through their states.
It means but Mike, that but when Mike, taxes, but Mike, hang on. The Chinese Communist Party, this is now because they admit that all their work on AI was maybe for naught because of DeepSeek. That was the Sputnik moment. We're in an arms race. And somebody like MTG and Mike Davis and Steve Bannon, these Neanderthals in the War Room posse who are decelerationists, not accelerationists, are going to make sure the United States is exposed at the highest level of national security against the existential threat. Or excuse me, not the existential threat today. The existential threat today is actually the this week on Fox, this is the mullahs. But the real existential threat, Chinese. How do you answer that, brother? Because you're going to give every cracker in the country, every local city council, the ability to stop the nation's artificial intelligence, sir.
Yeah, so you have Google and Meta, for example, Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook, Meta, that did Chinese bidding. China's bidding with censorship for many, many, many years, and now they pretend like they're trying to compete against China. They're not. What this 10-year moratorium means is that states like Florida and Texas that have passed laws that make it harder to censor conservatives and others with whom they disagree, these AI companies can just ignore those laws. They're told by this 10-year moratorium they don't have to follow these state laws. It's going to be open season on conservative users. It's going to be open season on conservative media. It's going to be open season on American creators. How many people go to Chinese movies? Right there.
Remember us talking about this consortium of conservative influencers, podcasters, and what have you, developing. They will be exempt from this. People like us will not be. We'll be crushed. We'll be put into oblivion. That's what's coming, and no one is talking about it. And this bill is funding that.
I wonder whose idea it was to put that in that bill.
I was looking to try to find that out. I believe it was more than one.
I mean, how did that get past Trump?
Oh, I think a lot. I don't know.
There's a lot of shit going on right now that I'm just wondering about.
Yeah, I don't.
We'll have to talk about that when you get back.
Yeah,
but there's just things going on that I'm not getting.
The way it was explained to me briefly, And I mean, very briefly, it was slipped in. It was added to the structure of the bill. So I guess.
So it's like pork. In a way, like somebody wants an airport built somewhere.
Well, yes, but yes, in terms of it being slipped in there, that's how, of course, these pet projects get funded. But this,
and I've always been against that. The bill needs to be the bill, and that's it.
Right.
All the other crap that gets attached to it, we shouldn't even be doing that.
No.
You know what I mean? That's the problem with this government. This is the problem with a lot of governments, is the crap that gets attached to the primary bill.
Right.
And man, I understand why people are pissed. I would be pissed too, Doug. It's a direct shot at us.
Of course.
Conservative voices.
And if you agree with the narrative and you essentially sign your platform away to conform to the narrative, you're going to be just fine. In fact, you're going to be more than fine. You're going to be so well taken care of and so happy, and in everyone's living room, and everyone's going to know your name, kind of like Cheers, you know, as opposed to, hey, the truth, hey, you know, sorry, but that's not what's on tap tonight.
This is just one more thing that tells us that we're in end times, we're in biblical times,
and there it is. Yeah,
you know, I mean, you can't dispute it. The Bible is not wrong.
Yeah, and
it's an amazing book.
when I was going through the Bible, you know, in my time of study. I would say study as opposed to anything else. And thinking about this, the AI aspect of things, I think you're right. I think that this is going to play a huge role.
Mm-hmm. I think it speaks of it. I honestly think it speaks about it.
Yeah.
I really do.
And this will control what gets out. Because it's going to be like a silent scream when other podcasters, broadcasters, people on the radio or people on different platforms.
And people are going to believe that over God.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the sad part.
And of course, how is we talked about several things tonight. We're being attacked from within by people who were allowed in.
Mm-hmm.
Were being and who have been allowed in, were and under the color of operating under the color of religion, were being attacked in so many different directions, from so many different directions.
I am very concerned about the fourth this year.
Have you found anything in your perusals to suggest?
Not yet. Believe me, if I did, I would have. Trust me, I could get through to someone in the FBI if I need to.
Yeah. I mean, we still have open comms there.
It's still that, but we know how to get past the Guardians.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, direct lines still work. Ask me how I know. I know because, last week the open lines, domestic and foreign threats, still work at the FBI.
Yeah.
And we still have
they'd grab a brick if we contacted them. They'd be like, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because before Trump's presidency, we weren't talking to them.
That's yes, correct. However, our number, and you know what I'm talking about. Our number is still operational. Yep. So we still are operational with the FBI. And as a matter of fact, welcomed more than not.
I guarantee, if I said my code name, we'd get attention.
I can say this. They're well aware of the names.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, as a matter of fact, it's almost as if this was being picked up with greater intensity. And that should make people listening and viewing this platform, you and I think that should give people hope and give us
we're in the fight. We're here. We're looking out. We got our fingers in a lot of places. Yep. And if something's coming, trust me, we would let you know.
And that's going to be more and more of a concern as summer continues. The domestic threat, including Antifa or the, you know, No Kings and all this other, these other so-called groups. And I say that because they're misnamed. Okay. Don't think like No Kings is a big deal. It's what's behind that. So anyway, those are the current threats. Yeah.
I'm more concerned with the NGOs and their financing behind things like that.
Oh yeah. Oh, incredible. Incredible.
Let's see. When you started digging, it's like, whoa.
And the NGOs are actually operated by, if you can believe this, by people either current or previous government positions.
Yep.
Oh, yep. And intelligence positions as well.